You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
So this is the weirdest piece of anti-masker propaganda I think I've ever seen. We are reviewing Cadaver, a Norwegian film that just dropped on Netflix, which tells the story of a couple named Leonora and Jacob and their daughter Alice, who in the aftermath of some kind of Norwegian post-apocalypse are invited to a lavish and super sketch hotel where they become part of a, I suppose, a, like, live dinner theater experience, and things go fucky. So, I am Davey, and with me is Alan.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hi there.
And Ray.
Hello.
So, what did you guys think of this very short and kind of not terribly well-publicized Netflix Norwegian flick?
I thought, in general, not to get into final thoughts or anything, but not huge fan of it. I did like where it started. I thought it started with a pretty well-established mission statement, the opening shot there. It's just like of a painting of a, I think it's like a lamb's head on a platter.
Yeah.
With what is clearly like a human eye looking through it as it fades out into this mansion. I was like, okay, this is like, they're stating intent. There's the whole like sheep to slaughter. Like this, maybe I'm in good hands here. This looks like it'd be cool. But it kind of went on and got cliched as, I don't know how much of the story we're wanting to spoil, but all the tropes of this type of story that you can imagine are sort of in this movie.
Yeah, that's totally kind of the problem with talking about this movie, is that within 30 minutes, because I agree with you, I did quite enjoy the first act, but I was saying, well, I really hope that they don't do this, and they did that, and that interaction between me and the movie happened like 8 more times throughout the film. It's hard, we shouldn't spoil it, because it is a movie that is seemingly dependent on its twists and turns, but also it's very obvious, so it's hard to know where the line is between, oh yeah, this is okay to talk about, and this, we shouldn't talk about this, even though it's super obvious. Like, the hotel is evil. If you didn't know that, welcome to horror.
Yeah. It's well established. The establishing shot of it up on the hill with the clouds in the background of the village. It's like, okay, that's like the big scary house you don't go into.
It's literally a house on a hill that never goes well for anybody. No house on a hill has ever been good.
Oh, definitely. All this altruism in the apocalypse is definitely not a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They're the only, yeah. You look at it, they're the only people that have electricity. They're the only people that have, you know, and I'm going, no, no, there's not anything wrong with that at all. It's fine. Everyone go to the house. Have fun. Eat dinner. No, no, you know, what? But they go. They go.
Yeah. And yeah. I can't really blame them. That's the thing, is because they are, while the main couple seemingly their motivation is mostly like, we just want to do something nice for our daughter because she's sad in the apocalypse, which is a fine reason, I guess. But a big thing is just like, there is food there and there is shelter and there is centralized heating. It's, I can't really blame anyone for being kind of sucked in to this world, even though it seems like this is a very small Norwegian town filled with endless people. I don't really know what the game plan is.
You know that they're extremely desperate because they're agreeing to go to an interactive live dinner theater for a meal, which is like that's a big ask. And they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're in. Like, let's do it.
Okay, you're right. You know, when you got nothing to lose, I guess you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only like the third worst dinner theater I've ever seen.
Yeah. This movie wore all of its influences on its sleeve. It was not subtle by any means. Like, clearly they wanted to represent some themes from Alice in Wonderland. So they named a child Alice and gave her a white rabbit and made her, I guess, fall in a hole.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just coming down to trusting your audience. Like, we know this is a post-apocalyptic world, and then in the opening montages, we're getting shots of newspapers that say nuclear war. And then it's like, you know, we're like sophisticated enough to know these types of things. Like, you get to show like a decimated village, have people talk of a war. Like, it's just so, and like the whole movie kind of, it was like in the first 10 minutes when that happens, I was like, okay, so they're going to over explain everything to us as we go along with them. And that's what's rough about this. This is, and maybe for me, you're a super casual movie goer, it might work a little better, but you know, I'm assuming a lot of us are genre fans, see a lot of horror, see a lot of movies. So definitely, in the first 7-10 minutes of the movie, like, you just know every beat that's coming. And on top of that, nothing's really like, the performances, I say, are good in it. That's one thing. Like, it was never like, oh God, these people are struggling to keep up with their material. They're like nailing it. It's just the material is so well trodden that it was hard for me to get invested. And any real like twist or emotion of it, because I kind of see the pieces form together, you know?
Well, and the same thing with me, it's not just the pieces that they're giving you that we, you know, again, like you're saying, we're already on board with and we already are following. I think it's the first 3 minutes of the movie before we even start to see the burned out town. There's some stuff at the very beginning. And again, I don't want to spoil too much, but they show some things in the inside of the hotel. And I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going on. I hope I'm wrong. But no, they for all the things that this should have had going for it in a lot of ways, I think they tipped their hand in the first 3 minutes, unfortunately. And that's what kind of got me.
Yeah. I agree.
Definitely.
I felt that there were some ways that they could have buried the lead on a few of those different things, or at least come from a more compelling angle. Than just another spectator in this strange show where you really don't know what's going on. And everything in the play is real. It's all a play.
It's all real.
And that's another issue with it, right? Is like with the structure of your movie, like even in the most meticulous movies like this, if you have like The Game, like David Fincher, who's like one of the most meticulous directors of all time, and even in The Game, the seams of the is this real, is this not, it kind of starts to fall apart, and he's like one of the best ever. In this thing, is this real or is this not, the seams are just, it's like frayed all over the place because it's not as meticulous as that. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's frayed so quickly, because I was really into this movie when it was starting, when it was like showing the premise. I was like, okay, this is stupid, but I'm on board with what it's trying to do. And none of the explanations for anything made anything better. It just got less and less interesting as it went along. And I think the filmmakers really leaned heavily on it being the post-apocalypse as kind of a justification for what's going on. And sure, but that's not good enough. You have to give me something to care about other than, well, it's the end of the world and people want something to A, take their minds off, and B, need something to do. And it's just, it doesn't ever move past that as kind of the baseline for what's going on. It tries with a couple characters, but like you said, Alan, outside of the performances, which a couple of them I do think are pretty good and make the material far better than it is, as well as the production design, I just like how hotels look. I think they're creepy and awful, and I think making a good creepy hotel is something that a lot of people don't want to do because you will always be compared to The Shining. And I do want to give props to the costume costume and production department for putting together a really, not super flashy, but it is an interesting looking hotel that really helps the atmosphere and the ambiance.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those are my two things, is that I think your production designers are having fun here. I think your costumers are having fun here. And I even think your cinematographer is having a lot of fun here. Definitely, unfortunately, yeah. We're not having quite as much fun here.
Yeah, there was a lot of ambitious camera work.
Yeah. I would say the movie is not without, like, skill and merit in it, for sure. It's, like, creepy hotel, like, filtered through gothic aesthetic, and the performances are really, like, there is, like, a lot of good stuff in here, which kind of, it kept me invested enough to be, like, what if in the third act there's something in here that subverts everything that we've been going through? And just that other shoe never dropped. So I was like, okay, I watched kind of like a typical but pretty to look at, but you know, it seems very slight by the end of it. It felt like a Netflix movie, you know, something you watch in the background that you kind of pay attention to. It never really elevated up past that.
It definitely fell apart in its writing. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it didn't know how to build or release tension, and everything was like dominoes. Like each thing would come after the other one in a very linear fashion, and it was pretty much spoon-fed to you.
Yeah, that's a great point about building and releasing the tension. There's like moments where it's like, oh my god, are they gonna like, is it gonna happen? And then it kind of stumbles, and it's like, eh, that wasn't very satisfying. And like, it happens a lot.
Yeah, everything was shown to you very directly. This is going to happen. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you were saying, like it is a very slight movie, and I think a lot of that is because it's real short. It's less than 90 minutes long, and I think because it's so slight, there isn't a ton to talk about. So let's go ahead and head over into our final thoughts. And yes, that segue is better than most of the writing in this movie. Ray, do you want to start us out?
Sure. I'm not sure what else I'm going to say about it except from some of the things we've already said. I like the acting. I like the way it looks. And there's nothing for someone who maybe is not a big fan of the genre, has not watched a lot of these movies. There's probably some very good things to like here, but unfortunately, I think they tipped their hand a little early. I think that there's some plot holes in here, and then I think that most of the things, especially if you pick up on the very beginning of the film, I think most of the things are going to fall right into place for you, and you're not going to get surprised at all by the end, or shocked in the way that they're probably hoping you will. It looks like, you know, this particular director, what I was looking at, what I could find, everything was a short. So maybe that's it. Maybe making that leap from shorts to a full length film, not quite there yet. You know, he had a 5-minute story to tell and took 90 minutes to tell it. And maybe that's where it fell apart. I'm not sure, but the cinematography is good and there's good acting in this. So, I mean, if I was going to recommend it to some of my other movie watching and horror friends, I would probably give it a much lower rating. If I'm going to recommend it to your average Netflix person who's looking for something they haven't seen yet, I'd make it a little better rating. But I think overall, I'm just going to go 6 out of 10 Little Red Dresses.
All right. Alex?
Nice. I think that, like, production-wise, this is pretty well executed. The acting is great. Gita Witt, who plays Leonora, is really compelling in her performance, and I would have liked to see her be a little more backed up by what her character was written to do. I think if you like Eyes Wide Shut, you'll enjoy the visuals in this movie. But it really wasn't the most exciting thing I've ever seen. I'll probably give it a 6 out of 10 golden masks.
All right. Alan?
Yeah. With a typical story like this, we're talking about how it's well-trodden material that a lot of us have seen, which I'm fine with a lot of movies like that. You know, I'll watch action movies that have the exact same plot over and over again if, like, an execution is there or, like, a slickness to it, which is just entertaining. Like, I know the story, but it's entertaining. An issue here is you both have a story that's very well familiar and a lot of stumbles along the way as far as, like, executing those tensions that we love. Because, you know, horror, a really original horror movie is rare. We know this, but we like the genre because different visions of it, different way they're going to manipulate a scare or release that tension. And this doesn't really have any of that either. So it was, even though it's short, it felt like a slog to get through it. So I'm gonna have to go 3.5 out of 10 interactive actors who seem complicit in evil things.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of on the same page on this. I think Alan definitely disliked it more than the rest of us, but it's just not very interesting, and it has a lot of potential to be, and that feels worse somehow. But you can't deny that, A, it being really short helps it out a lot, at least for me, as well as the good acting. I also want to single out, and I'm going to fuck this up, Torbjorn Haar, who plays Matthias, the like head of the hotel experience, who is not given a particularly deep character, but he's having fun with it. He's being the weird dude that introduces everyone to Club Silencio, as it were, and that's fun. And he's having fun with it. Like you said, Ray, this feels like a short film. I actually got a lot of vibes to one of Denis Villeneuve's early short films that I cannot remember the name of, but it's a really good one from like 2009 about like a group of people at a table kind of gorging themselves.
Oh, it's yes. Good.
Yeah, and I got kind of similar vibes to that, and this should have been a really good 15-minute short film. Instead, we got a pretty mediocre 85-minute feature, and that is an absolute shame, because there's clearly talent here. I would say even the writer-director has talent. There's just not the proper avenues or the proper oversight to really see it through. And I would say this is good casual viewing, but it's not in English, so I can't really recommend it as casual viewing, because you have to pay attention, because there are subtitles, because they're not speaking a language that most of, at least our listeners, do speak, and that can make it a really big problem to recommend it as casual viewing. But either way, I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 really condescending explanations of stage blood.
Yum.
That Denis Villeneuve short film is called Next Floor.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
I love it.